Hey, U.S. Open Reaction Pod, Golf Guys, Brett Gunning and Sam McKee here. Sammy, bud, with another major in the books, our season's almost over. We only have one left. I won't be sad now. We'll save that for after the Open Championship. U.S. Open, kudos to Wyndham Clark. I'm gutted for my guy, Rory. Where do you want to start?
Gunner, unfortunately for you, the story of this is Rory McIlroy not winning and not Wyndham Clark winning, I think. I think Wyndham Clark played a fine weekend of golf. I thought he was his performance was impressive all the way through. Particularly yesterday, I thought he really stuck with it. Thought there were some times where he could have let it get off the rails, but he made a couple big putts, and including that lag putt on 18 that just made look so easy, which is not like, look how many people around the green. Did they not know it could have gone to a playoff? And he hits it to an inch and puts it in. But I think the story once again is Rory McIlroy in the final round of a major, tied or within a couple strokes of the lead, not going out and taking it. Like, this was just so similar to St. Andrews, Gunner. That's the thought that just kept going through my mind when I watched him narrowly miss all these birdie putts. And they're not far off, as you know. It's given guys like you all this hope when it's trundling towards a hole and it just runs at a pace and breaks right, just goes by. I don't know. One of these tournaments, you think they may start to fall, but I really don't know if they're going to. It's been a tough few hours for the Rory fandom after that final round.
Boy, has it. You'd love to see one drop, and I still am of the belief that one day one of them is going to drop, and that's literally all it will take is one. And I mean, you could look at that two ways. He literally just needed one putt to drop, and he's in a playoff, and who knows what happens there, of course. But it's also, you need one to go early in a final round for you. He had a great look on, I think it was two, really, really long putt, just misses, like you said, kissing the edge. I would love to see this stat, Justin Ray, if you're listening. You are not, but if you are, here's how you can prove how good you are. How many times did Rory McIlroy kiss the cup, and was it more than the rest of the field combined this weekend? Because he, like you said, he was right there. But guess what? They do cut checks for second place, but don't give you a trophy for it. Okay. You have to find a way. And I do believe, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong on this, maybe you feel differently. Rory is such a feels guy, a mojo guy, a vibes guy. We've seen it a million times where he blocks a first tee shot of a major out of bounds and he's done. There's never any coming back from that. But conversely, when he gets out and running and he's sprinting ahead of the field, it feels like he's kind of impossible to catch at times. And if that one drops on two, who knows? But guess what? It didn't. And it is so frustrating. The thing I will say is, and I go to a lot of looking at him after the round for how I feel he's going to kind of bounce back from this or how it's going to affect him. He doesn't seem like a broken man. He feels like a guy who is like, I'm getting a ton of chances. I'm getting a ton of looks. And one day it will fall, one day soon. And I think that the fact that it's not breaking him, because it has in the past, you've seen him look super dejected after close calls at majors. To me, that makes it, or it makes me believe that it does bode well. But man, incredibly frustrating. And I know, to your point, like, I'm going to sit here and say he's right there. He shot the exact same score in the final three rounds as the guy who won. But to your point, he's not Wyndham Clark. He's supposed to be a transcendent superstar. And you're just waiting one day for him to do not what Fleetwood did yesterday, because nobody was going to do that. But I would have taken what Cam Smith did yesterday and just a nice little two shots better than the field or something like that and go grab it from somebody. And it just hasn't happened for him lately since he did it the last time 9 years ago. And yeah, it's incredibly frustrating. I would love to tell you it's not, but man, it is.
Yeah. I really, it's the opposite of Tiger right now when I'm watching him in a major. He's standing over a putt and I legitimately have zero belief that it's going to go in the hole. Like, I've never, you know, like, he had got close and I was like, oh, he's going to surprise me here. But I didn't believe any of these putts were going in. And he's just not clutch in these majors. And you can't say he's not clutch because, like, well, think about the playoff he had during the FedEx Cup playoffs last year with Scottie Scheffler, where he outduels him, hits that long, massive putt to take the lead. Like, he is clutch in situations that are non-majors. But unfortunately, the thing that everyone remembers you for in the game of golf, especially when you're at the level of Rory McIlroy, is your major totals. And we all know how important number five is. We just saw it with Brooks Koepka when he won the PGA Championship, that, you know, you saw the list of guys that have five majors, and that's the echelon. That's the upper tier of golfers, of all timers. And four is impressive, don't get me wrong, but like, to get to five is another level. And it just feels like every single time he's in the mix, the number one guy who's feeling it is Rory. And there's no way you can't tell me this is all between the ears. It's a between the ears situation. And he drove the ball beautifully all week. He really did. But the putter just stopped working the last two rounds. Like, his strokes gained putting just progressively got worse. And I think he was plus two something on Thursday and minus two something on Sunday. It's just the clutch situations, it completely goes away. And I feel for him because you could tell he really, really, really wants this. He really does. But I just have a hard time believing like that he's going to be able to get over those demons. Like, it's going to have to be one of these ones, I think we've talked about this before, mm-hmm. where he goes out and laps everybody. Like, he's just on fire. And there's no where it's like, you know, like his first one. When he win his first one, why? Eight strokes?
Yeah, congressional.
That situation where he goes out there and he shoots 65, 64 Thursday, Friday, and he just has to shoot par on the last couple rounds to kind of just stay within it. I don't think he's going to be in a duel where he's able to stick with it like that.
I think the other interesting thing about him and kind of where he's at is, and this feels weird to say about a guy who I think is in an awesome place with his game right now, just finished second at a major. But I think he's kind of stuck between two modes of himself right now. When you talk about the best versions of Rory we've seen, it was him at Congressional, lap in the field. It was him at, I think, Valhalla, when he's just driving the ball down, literally down Phil Mickelson's throat. He's saying, hold up. No, Rory's like, I got a major to win. I'm finishing this thing. We're not coming back tomorrow. That is the best version of himself. Assertive, aggressive, taking dangerous lines. When I think of Rory and I close my eyes, of course, we all think of the driver, but this guy with some type of fairway medal in his hand is dangerous, and he's always taking uber aggressive lines. Look what he did all week. He just played it super safe to the center of greens, hit every single one. It was two putt city until it wasn't when he needed it to be. And that is not the best version of Rory McIlroy. Now, he's so talented that not playing the best version of his golf still allows him to do this. But at his absolute peak of his powers, he's not playing it safe. He is attacking pins left, right, and center. And look, I know it's a U.S. Open. They're Sunday pins. You can't always be doing that. But when you just nail the green and regulation stats there, he hit pretty much every one for the last three rounds of the tournament. And the fact that it still wasn't enough, he was giving himself so many long putts. Yeah, they were looks, but they were really, really long distance looks. And I think that that's the interesting thing to kind of watch with Rory is, does he stick with this more? And it's never conservative golf when it's Rory McIlroy. He's going for everything in two. He's bombing at 340. But it's a conservative version of Rory McIlroy golf. And that's not who he's been when he's been at his best. And I'm not just talking about majors. Even at the Tour Championship, he's taking uber-aggressive lines. He's attacking. And that wasn't his MO this weekend.
He needs a moment. Like, you just think of him needing a moment. Like, we talk about him at the Masters where he holes out, what was that, 2021?
Two years ago, yeah.
2021, where that got him into solo third, I think. Like, you think of that as a moment. But, like, you think of him, like, yesterday he just needed two of those bombs to hit. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, not even two. One, he's in a playoff.
Yeah.
Two, he wins the thing. But you just think of how many times it'd be replayed and the you know, oh my God, the pomp and circumstance of him finally getting over the top. Like, you can just picture what it would be like if one goes in and he just can't get it to go. And it's, you know, we'll talk the last majors he's been in contention with. This is exactly what happened. And I will say, I think the Open was worse. I really do. Like, I think the Open, he had way more looks. And I thought that there was a way more easy course than today was, or yesterday was, sorry. Like, I really do think that plays into it. But I mean, Cam Smith just went out there and absolutely ripped it from his paws. I don't think that it's as bad as that was yesterday. Like, I don't think that the Open was as bad as yesterday, or the other way around, sorry. But man, he's got a lot of thinking to do. And I think, you know, he just looks at who wins that. He looks at what happens to everybody else. Like, it was an absolute pillow fight yesterday. And if he just jumps up and grabs it, it was one that'll really stick with him. Like, at least he can look at with Cam Smith and be like, a guy went nuclear and stole it from me. That didn't happen yesterday. Nobody went nuclear other than, you know, Tommy Fleetwood. And I don't think Minwoo Lee played well too. Like, it doesn't really happen like that.
Good for Minwoo Lee. This is the second time this year he's popped his head up in a major, and I've gone, good for you. But you're right, man. I'd love to sit here and tell you, no, I feel differently about it. How can you not say it's not all between the years? And I think that even you're agreeing with me that if one does go in, maybe it changes everything, right? Maybe it changes so much. But until we actually see it drop, until we actually see it happen, it just feels so hard to trust.
Yeah, he could win 7 majors if one of those putts drops in. That's the crazy thing. Like, I really do feel that, like, he said it before, and it's so accurate that he's trying to win his first one again. Like, it really does feel like that, and feels like he gets over the hump here with one of these majors, and he's been in contention at 2 here now. They're not going to get, like, he's not old by any stretch of the imagination. But there's only 4 of these a year, and there's a ton of great golfers, and you have to take advantage of these. And if he takes advantage, that weight is off his shoulder. Finally, he gets it done. He gets to number 5, and there's so much less pressure on him going into the Open. There's so much less pressure going, there'll never not be pressure on him at the Masters. There's always going to be that pressure. But I really do feel like the other 3, there's so much weight lifted off his shoulder. So, yeah, it's a tough one for your boy Rory. Like, he's really, really going full Rory right now at majors. Like, it doesn't get much more typical than this right now. Playing great, but still having us talk for 15 minutes about how he didn't get it done.
Yeah, it's incredibly frustrating. I'd love to tell you differently. He even got the awesome break yesterday. His golf. So, man, these rules will never not be confusing to me.
I'll go open book here. Yeah. I was watching on my phone at the Argos game. Yeah. Which, you know, I'm a dedicated golf guy, but I'm also an Argos guy. I was at the East final last year when they beat the Alouettes to go to the Grey Cup.
Sam McKee loves the Argos more than golf. You heard
had to go to the banner night. Wasn't going to miss that. Had it planned all winter. So it wasn't going to beautiful night at BMO, and God love technology. I'm just sitting there grinding on my phone, watching the game. Beautiful night.
Oh yeah. Grinding. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was watching the game on my phone. And I was catching chirps. There's a kid in our section. It's like, what are you watching? And I was like, oh God, I can't show him. I'm watching golf. Anyways, what happened with that ruling?
So his ball. Okay. So also cards on the table. It was my kid's bath time. So okay. I was running upstairs to help out with that. And then my wife ran downstairs and she's like, I don't know what the hell's going on. Rory's like sticking his finger in the grass. You got to go down there and see what's going on. So God. I go down and he did say, Can I stick my finger in there? Golf rules will never not be weird to me. So basically it was a plugged lie and he was able to get a drop because of because it's golf. Okay. We can sit here. I complain about this stuff all the time.
They're giving that drop to Bryson?
Yes, they are because here's what happens. That if they don't give it to Bryson, we have actually seen this exact movie before. He just goes, okay, give me somebody else. You're not giving me the answer I want. Get another guy in here, and I'll yell at him, and then they shake his hand and say, oh, you're so classy, sir. So it pissed me off last week in the playoff with Fleetwood that he's getting a free drop from a grandstand that's been there for 2 months. Yeah. The rules of golf will never not be weird on this
it's
one.
It's a little – I thought ball don't lie there. Like,
for sure.
You smash it into the side bank of a bunker and get a free drop. And like the number one thing that everybody said about this course is don't go in the bunkers.
Yeah. Corey Connors would like a word. Yeah.
Yeah. Like what, like, you know, I really do feel like he got that ruling because he's Rory and if he was in contention.
I know you do, but I'm going to tell you that Bryson also gets that rule. There's maybe one man who doesn't. And it's Reed. Because, yeah, that's the only guy. Yeah, they're like, we got to take a hard stance here. So golf. Okay. But you're right. There's definitely a ball don't lie element there. He shouldn't have got the drop. Like again, I want to be clear. He should, because the rules of golf don't make any sense, but he should not, according to all comment. Let me put it this way. We hold these guys to a way higher standard than we hold each other to. and you know, you and I don't play matches because I don't hate myself that much. But if we were in a match and I'm like, well, I hit it here and it plugged, so obviously free drop. No, we would not be doing that. So the fact that you and I are holding ourselves to higher standards than this, ridiculous.
Yes.
But definitely, definitely a ball, don't lie element there. So how are you feeling on him heading into the last major of the year? We'll talk about the rest of this tournament here, but just wrapping up on Rory. Do you have any feel one way or another? You think he'll be around but not get it done? What?
I don't know. I really don't feel like he'll get it done. Like I have a hard time after watching yesterday that he's going to get it done. And maybe he'll surprise me, but it just feels like he's the anti-clutch right now. He is the opposite of clutch. I don't know who's the least clutch player of all time. It feels like there's a lot of guys across a lot of sports, but like, you know, I think of Vince Carter bricking that shot against the Sixers. Like, I don't know what to say, but it's just, he's not clutch. And I don't believe in him at all until he gets it done. So no belief. Maybe in the mix, play well enough, but like put him in the same situation on Sunday. Don't like it.
I think he's going to be right there. He's going to have a puncher's chance. And I genuinely believe one of them is going to drop. He is far, far too talented. Putting is far too.
God. Stockholm syndrome, Gunner.
No, Stockholm syndrome. He's the only guy in the world other than Tiger who's had the number one ranking as long as he has. He just beat the brakes off Scottie Scheffler at the Tours Championship last year. All that. Like,
this is what everyone looks back on at the end of their careers is their amount of Tour Championships. That's what everyone talks about.
Buddy, you're a LIV guy. You should be saying that's the most important one. It's the one they give all the money or the money
it's
for.
It's all LIV so now, Gunner. It's all be saying LIV that's now.
The most important one. We'll talk about that later because
it's all LIV now, baby.
I am so curious what's going to happen with that. All right. You good on Rory? You want to bash him a little more? You got anything else on him?
No, I just, you know, I do feel for him and his fans. It's got to suck.
Okay. Wyndham Clark, we should probably give him a little due, or do you want to talk about the other 30 something idol that choked it away? We should probably talk about the winner.
I thought Wyndham Clark was awesome. And I thought,
agreed.
I thought the way he struck the ball all week was really impressive. And I thought his putting, like you said, was excellent. There's just a lot of things that really impressed me about his game. He's been in the mix a lot this year. He's had a good year. He obviously had the win, but like he's been in the mix. And I don't think this is necessarily the start of something, but like, I do think that he's a legit guy. Obviously he just won the United States Open. It's a stupid thing to sit here and say like now that but I followed him a bit. Shout out my boy, Jeff. He's a diehard Oregon Ducks fan, so he's always following Wyndham Clark. I'm aware of Wyndham Clark because he's always posting about Wyndham Clark. I always keep an eye on him because of that. And he's been in the mix a lot this year. He can drive the ball. He's that fairway finder, that shaper that he had, just an absolute beautiful stroke. And the putt that he made on 18 to give himself a tap in to win the U.S. Open. The club spin on Saturday, bud. Be right, baby, with the most ferocious tornado club spin. And then, like, to not only do that, but have it almost go in the hole. Like, it was like, what was that, a foot from dunking? Yeah. He was really impressive. And, yeah, I was really happy for him. Guy was great. The story with his mom, guy bawling his eyes out. Great celebration after he wins it. Double fist pump straight to bawling with his caddy. Like, a guy, it mattered a lot to him. And I'm happy for him. It deserved it. Impressive.
Do you know how good of a story it has to be for a guy to beat Rory McIlroy by one shot at a major and me to be like, good for him. That was awesome. How could you not feel great about watching him? As you said, the club spin, I don't know if you heard this. He got asked about it in the post round afterwards.
What did he say?
He's like, I am not generally a club spinner, but, and hey, this is a thing all golfers can relate to. He had the number. He just like, it was the number.
Hit it perfect.
The club.
Knew exactly what it was.
He said, I knew it would be somewhere around the hole. So it's just how good we, and again, you can never relate to these guys. We all can relate to that. The number's different for everybody. Oh, okay. Yeah. But we all have a number that we just love.
135 gap wedge. If I hit it perfect, talk dirty to me, baby. I'm going to be hitting a sweet one. I'm going to be spinning that, baby.
Yeah, 122 is a number I really, really like. You know exactly what that feels like. Awesome to see him. The ball striking was really, really nice. He also looks like every stock golfer that you will just see at a course.
He looks like Jared Kiesel.
No. I don't mean in face. I just mean like the curved Titleist hat.
Oh, yeah.
Not any sponsors on it anywhere. He just like wearing a color shirt. I didn't see any sponsors. I'm sure that'll all changed now. Good for him to get that money. But he just looks not face-wise, but just attire-wise, like every guy you see out there. To have a guy who, again, like you said, he's been in the mix. He has some pedigree. It's not coming out of absolutely nowhere. Mm-hmm. We don't get these that often anymore. You know, Woodland is a guy who will kind of stand out. Obviously, the Danny Willett Masters feels completely different than all of that. But it's just not something we really see in the sport. And you're right. I don't think it's going to be the start of something. But we always, and, you know, this is kind of what we talked about last week with Taylor, is that it could just be the pinnacle. Like, I'm not pouring dirt on him. I'm not saying he could never win again. He probably won't win another major, but maybe he does. But this is just going to be the best year of this guy's life. He's almost certainly now going to be in the mix, if not on the Ryder Cup team after winning a major, showing the stones like that. And just to have a guy kind of reach the culmination. And it's funny, it ties into the Rory conversation, right? Where Rory's won four majors, and we sit here and talk about him like he's a failure. And look, he has been for the last 10 years because you want to win. I'm not taking anything away from that. But with a guy like Wyndham Clark, you could just be happy for him in this moment. And it doesn't have to be the start of anything. It doesn't have to be the beginning of some ride. It very well may be, but this could also just be the best day of his life. And getting to watch a guy do that was incredible. It was remarkable.
So did you, I saw somewhere that it's five first time major winners in a row at the U.S. Open,
yep.
Which I think is pretty interesting. I think that just speaks to where the PGA Tour is at right now. Like Woodland, DeChambeau, Rahm, Fitzpatrick, and now Wyndham Clark. I think it's a pretty, you know, those are, I know you'll quibble with Bryson. But I think, you know,
when he won, he was a super stud. He's not anymore. But when he won, he was one for sure.
So I just think that this is a very good commentary on where the game of golf is at and just all these guys who are playing so well and so impressive. So, five times in a row, first time major winner at the U.S. Open. Good job, guys.
Where they're going next year. Let me quickly look that up. Cause I love the idea of that and they all feel a little bit different, right? Gary Woodland and Wyndham Clark. I think they're kind of more linked together than not.
I actually think it could be a very similar parallel.
Yeah. A guy who's really respected by all his peers.
Good player.
Good game. There is no quibble with him. I'm sure Woodland's been on a President's Cup team, if not a Ryder Cup team. But yeah, just a very, very good parallel there. In terms of Fowler, should probably talk about him for half a second here.
I don't have a ton.
No, I don't want to. I don't want to dance on the grave. 5 years ago, I would have been throwing a hootenanny on this grave, just dancing, pouring liquor, everything. Yeah. But this time, I did feel a little bad for the guy. And just quickly, Pinehurst next year.
Nice.
Pinehurst Martin Keimer won there last time. I don't think he'll repeat.
I do not think he'll be repeating there either. I just feel bad for Ricky. I really do. Like, I thought it was a pretty great indication of how much he was feeling the pressure when he gacked that putt on 18 on Saturday to give himself, like, he was at 11 under, right? He was, and then he got to 10 with that. I just really felt a little weird about it after I saw that putt. And this was probably his best chance he's going to get.
For sure.
Like, is that harsh? Like, I really don't feel like he's going to get a better chance than the one he just had. And you could see, like, I want to say that you could see how bad he wanted it, but like, could you? Like, was he showing any emotion? Like, could you mix in one fist pump on the Saturday when you're in the lead? Like, that long bomb goes in and he barely reacts to it. I guess the crowd barely reacted to it because it was like a college tournament around that green. There was no one was there. I don't know, man. I think it was a perfect weekend for Ricky. That just encapsulates him. This is what he is, right?
It was. There's no way he's ever getting another look at this. I mean, it's golf. Anything can happen, but no chance he is going to have a time where he is in contention is this much. I'll give him a pass on the lack of emotion on Saturday because I think that was a guy who's probably honestly trying to convince himself that the moment wasn't happening and like just keep playing golf. Don't think about it. Yeah. Don't think about it. Now, I don't know if you saw this as well. There was the one moment where I think it was on Saturday or maybe it was Friday and the fan said to him, "Oh, what are you doing?" with the terrible, when he hit a terrible putt and he looked at him and kind of shrugged his arms. "I'm leading the U.S. Open." And it's like, it just felt like he was trying to keep it loose, trying to not have that. And
what you're saying is he's Joe Thornton in that meeting where he's like, "What are you talking about? We're in first place.
Oh, this is great. Yeah, no problems here." And then, you know, I know that this is what the game of golf is built on, is the sportsmanship and treating your playing partner with respect and all of that. And it's all wonderful. But don't look so happy for Wyndham Clark. I don't know if you've seen the pictures of the two of them standing there chatting. He looks like it was Father's Day for Ricky, and he was Wyndham Clark's dad. He looked so proud of him, and I'm sure that's why everybody loves him, and I'm sure that's why he was in with the whole Spieth and JT crew, and it's all great. But I'm also sure that that's why he has as few wins as he does, and he's never sniffed it in a major until this time. I'm sorry, man. You got to be more broken up by it. You do. You just have to be, especially when in his heart of hearts, whether he was able to admit it to himself last night or this weekend or now or whatever, he knows that's the best chance he's getting. He knows it's never going to look that good again. So I feel awful for him. I would have loved to have had him in the mix. It would have been a great kind of showdown there that we never really got.
It just happened fast.
It happened so fast. He bogeyed one, then he hits a bad tee shot on two. Over. Done. Yeah. No chance he was going to be in the mix.
He wasn't he wasn't leaking oil. He was an oil spill.
Yeah.
Like immediately.
Just out. Gone. Yeah. That was exactly what you saw there. Just a couple other quick hitters. Cam Smith, really nice round yesterday.
Like great.
Bodes well for him. You know, we don't need to do the whole live thing again, but if that guy's going to be the Cam Smith he was at the Open last year.
Beautiful putting stroke.
Best putter in the world. I think we've all said it for a long time. Short game's awesome. He's long enough to compete. The fact that he is finding his form, and he's been lost, honestly, since leaving last year. Yeah. So really nice to see him in the mix. Scheffler, bit of a disappointing day for him. You know, how
God,
do you feel?
He can't putt.
No, not at all. The putting
stroke terrible. I can't believe I'm saying that about him, but like how many putts yesterday did he, like short ones, he missed them by like 5 feet.
So on the Saturday to finish, he makes the long bomb on 18. That putt was 22 feet and whatever inches. That was more feet of putts than he made on the entire front nine.
Wow.
Yeah. Just to show you how unable he was to get anything of length to go. And guess who that sounds a lot like? Rory McIlroy. He made like an 8-footer on 16 or 15 yesterday. And they're like, that's the longest putt of the day. That can't be the longest putt of the day at the final round of a major. You generally speak and need one kind of special one to go in or have a hole out or something like that.
Did you have anything on the course?
Yeah.
I had a couple things.
I'll let you start and then I'll go after. Go ahead.
I thought it was kind of everything that's wrong with golf in terms of the way the course was, you know, I thought it was a good looking course on TV.
Looked awesome.
I didn't think it was spectacular by any stretch. Like there were some times where I was like, oh, look at those size skyscrapers kind of looking like Lakeview out there. Like I didn't think it was like breathtaking, but I'm sure it's a really cool course to play. And like, it's historic and it's well designed. And that number six, I really loved. I loved the short little par three. I love that 14th was an incredibly hard par five. That like you expect expect on the back nine of a major on a Sunday that your par five is going to be your respite. That's going to be your spot that you're going to get a stroke back. And it was playing really hard. So I respected that. But have you done any reading on LACC?
Yeah, I'm aware of the initiation fees and how super strict it is. My understanding is there is no phones on the property, which is whatever. That's pretty par for the course. The members not allowed to wear shorts, so they had to break club policy to allow the players to wear shorts in the pro-am. Jesus. And then just in terms of I saw a number floating around yesterday of what the actual land was worth.
Yeah. Here, I got it in front of me.
Okay, perfect, because it is staggering.
So I just do a bit of reading here. Bear with me.
Yep.
This is, who tweeted this out? Joe Pompilano.
I'm sure you crushed it, yeah.
Yeah. The 320-acre piece of land, Smith smack dab in the middle of Beverly Hills between the famous roads of Sunset Boulevard, Wilshire Boulevard, and Santa Monica Boulevard. The land alone is reportedly worth $8 billion, making it the second most valuable piece of real estate not developed for housing behind Central Park in New York City. But here's the craziest part. An $8 billion assessed land value would typically mean hundreds of millions of property taxes alone, but LACC only pays $220,000 in annual taxes. This is because of two rules. LACC is owned by its members and registered as a nonprofit. So they have benefited when California voters passed a ballot in 1960 that lowered the vote, that lowered the value at which officials were allowed to assess as nonprofit golf courses. Then in 1978, voters passed Proposition 13. This new law rolled back the assessed land value to its 1975 level and more or less froze that in time. So they paid $220,000 in taxes, per an annual property tax saving of $80 million, Gunner.
That is remarkable. The initiation fee at that place is $250,000, okay? $250,000. They are charging one member to join, which I'm sure, you know, I highly doubt the books are open. I don't think you're getting in there.
Yeah.
But should somebody sneak through, they pay more to join the club than that club does in annual property taxes.
If you want some more on this, Malcolm Gladwell's got an excellent podcast. He does a bunch of different stuff on it. But he's got one particularly on McDonald's fries. That's just one of the greatest podcasts ever made. I don't know if you've ever listened to that, Gunner, but it's incredible. But if you want to go, he does I think it's called A Good Walk Spoiled, or I forget what the name of the podcast is, but he does a whole thing talking about how, like, basically about, like, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, Central Park is a place where millions of people enjoy it every day. And don't get me wrong, like, I don't want to, like, develop Don Valley Park.
It sounded like Jennifer Keyes, man.
I know. But that is absurd. That
wild.
What I read to you is absurd, and I love golf. I love golf courses within the city. I like them to be accessible.
Yes,
but that is the least accessible place on earth. So listen to Malcolm Gladwell, A Good Walk Spoiled, on it if you want more information. But yeah, I didn't like that aspect of how exclusive it was, and like the members buying.
Okay,
up.
So I have that.
Does this happen? Did this happen?
Yeah. So I have this is Daniel Rappaport, you know, reputable journalist. Oh, yeah. He's on Full Swing, all that stuff. Yeah. So details on the LACC tickets: 23,000 for sale to the general public. This is all per day, but 14,000 of those were for hospitality. Those are very expensive. Obviously, that's like, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars. That is not for the everyday.
So that's like for around the greens at like.
Exactly. Okay. In the tents, in the suites, that stuff. Yeah. Only 9,000 general admission tickets were sold per day, and thousands of those were also bought up by LACC members. So you were really looking at just maybe 5,000-6,000 people on the ground per day that are, well, I won't say you and I, because, you know, we're accredited media members.
Oh, yes.
The ropes. But like all of you listening, there were only 5,000-6,000 people there of just general admission fans. How, of all the majors, how is this the one where that's the case? The Open, obviously, is also a super public thing.
It's literally called Open.
Yeah, because anybody can qualify. It's ridiculous. And that, to me, course aside, even if I would have given this a 11 out of 10, which I didn't. I thought it was a solid course. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But that alone is a disqualifying factor for me. Yeah, I'm sorry. You could never go back. Never again. Yeah. Let those guys and gals enjoy their course. I shouldn't say gals. I don't even know if they allow women members. We've had this issue before. Yeah. I should probably double check before I say that. Yeah. But they can never go back there. It's not the juice is not worth the squeeze. Agreed. And you would need, well, I probably shouldn't say that in near Brentwood Country Club, or OJ is going to come a call in here. But the thing you look at with this is you want crowds. You want a jacked up atmosphere. That is the thing you get in majors that you don't get on a regular week, RBC Canadian Open aside. And to lose that feel, it took so much away. The fact that Wyndham Clark was an awesome story, great. Imagine how much better it would have felt if there were 10,000 people standing around the green or whatever you normally see.
I agree wholeheartedly with you. And like, as a TV product, I haven't been to either of these courses clearly, but Riviera on TV is 10 times more enjoyable to watch than that. Wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm, for
like,
sure.
I much prefer Riviera, which is apparently their blood rival.
Love that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the same guy designed both.
Okay. New idea. If we want to see that course on TV, this like famous member guest, they have it like Seminole Golf Club every year. Yeah, and it's like a who's who of the golf world. Yeah. Go do that. Have it match style of Riv members versus LACC members. That's what I would like to see. Yeah.
And I did like the 14th where you could hear the monkeys from the Playboy Mansion.
Very cool.
I thought that was cool. I liked like there was guys playing house beats on the hole. Was it hole number five?
Rory trying to silence them.
The best question I have for that was like, what do you think? Do you think they knew there was a golf tournament? Like, no chance. Was it Lionel Richie pumping, like, you know, a little like Avicii or Calvin Harris out of his house? No idea. There's a golf tournament going on. Like, I really like to believe he had no idea.
This isn't exactly Islington when St. George's is hosting the Canadian Open while the whole neighborhood is super invested. I think it was probably much more of a, oh, that's happening thing. Yeah, yeah. You're right. Not a clue. They're like, oh, why is this nerd in the fairway screaming at us? And it's like... well, yeah.
They leaned into it so much on the broadcast about how LA is this great sports town. It's like,
I've given you some crazy, this is just a sports take. This isn't a golf take. I've given you some nuts ones. I've given you the Santonio Holmes did not catch that football. Yeah, yeah. I've given you the Ovechkin goal against not the Yotes. Good. Not actually that good. Oh man, this is bad. I just lost where I was going with this. No, it was going to be
LA
so
bad
good.
Sports town.
Oh, LA. LA's a terrible sports town, and there is no such thing as a good warm weather sports town. Florida, exactly the same thing. If you need a depressing winter where you got nothing better to do than rot with your basketball team or your hockey team or your NFL team, I'm sorry. There's a reason Padres fans are fair weather, because if the team sucks, they just look up and go, oh, wow, I could do literally anything else with my life. You cannot be a great sports city, or at least not as good as a Northeast sports city if you are a warm weather one. So I was dying at the idea of them, oh, LA, a great sports town. Yeah, they love all their teams when they win, and they love the Dodgers and Lakers regardless. But great sports town, take a hike.
Well, and I mean, quickly before we go, I got just the broadcast in general, man, the commercials, this playing through is the worst thing that's happened to golf coverage.
Oh my God.
Because they think they can do it. They're like, hey, Dumbo, golf's still on. It's still on. You can listen to this PXG commercial, have them screaming at you for 10 minutes, but you can still watch it in a tiny box. I thought that the broadcast was somewhat brutal. I don't want to disparage our good the good name of Zinger. I thought he was particularly surly.
He was tired.
Yeah, man. Like
it felt like 9 o'clock Eastern to him.
It did. He was just like, but he's like, you know, I still think the fairways are way too wide for a U.S. Open. God, that's a terrible shot. I was like, Jesus, Zinger. Like, I love him when he's surly, but he was a little bit over the top. I would give the broadcast about a solid 5, just way too many commercials. And I know they always are, but God, it just felt like it was way worse during this. So, and there was big moments they're doing playing That's through. I'm like, come on, man. Brutal.
You've got to perfectly thread the needle if you're going to play through. You know, we can do some playing through on Thursday and Friday when the who cares is up, right? But on the throes of a back 9 and you're into it, I know they went the final hour commercial free. Great. What is the point of all this PIF money if I'm going to continue to see this?
Better not be no commercials.
I understand that all the contracts have been baked in. And look, we know they're still going to show commercials on CBS and on NBC. Of course. But that has always been the thing of, well, if you want to compete or you want to have the prize money, this is the other side of it. Not any longer. If the PIF money is there, there's no way we should have to rot through commercials the way we did. Even if you want to punish me on a week-to-week basis, but not in a major, it cannot be like that. So, I think that's as good a note as any to end on. You got anything else from the weekend, bud?
Go to Cabot and go to Cape Breton Highlands.
Oh, yeah. Oh, actually, I did. Did you get to see Father's Day? You get to see your dad? I know it's big golfing inspiration for you.
We chatted on the – we had the most father – son conversation on the phone. We grinded 10 minutes out there. We just, you know,
thanks
for the gift, love you, bud, bye. Okay. Like, it was talked about my trip out to the East Coast. I saw some clips of you being a dad, putting, chipping. I loved it. So yeah it was a good I went to the Argos game. My dad loves the Argos. He texted me, thanks for the gift, and that was that.
Love that.
I think we'll see. I think I'm seeing him in a couple weeks and we'll do some extended Father's Day stuff, but yeah, it's good.
There we go. Awesome. Again, you can get this wherever you're listening to this right now because it's podcast only. We will be back on Saturday with the golf show, talking about the goings on in a regular golf tournament. Been a while since we've had one of those. Brent Gunning and Sam McKee. It's been the golf show here, wherever you get your pods.